Hey, you're listening to The Treehouse Storyteller. Meet me in the treehouse for God-shaped storytelling. Treehouse Storyteller is where we can come together as messy parents seeking Jesus together and raising kids to love him too. If you aren't scared of addressing cultural issues head-on and finding a deeper understanding of the biblical worldview to share with your children, then you've come to the right place. I'm not afraid to be transparent and tell all of the juicy details. Our children are being chased by the world, and it is our job to be well-equipped and know not only how to lead our flock, but successfully send our arrows out into the world one day to build the kingdom. So snuggle up by the fire or soak up the sunshine with those earbuds in and meet me in the treehouse for some biblical storytelling. Hey guys, welcome to the Treehouse. We are still in Nashville, Tennessee at the NRB, and I have the pleasure this morning of introducing you to Mary Bodden. Am I saying that correct, Mary?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Forgot to ask you before we started. So she founded Dance Awareness No Child Exploited. It's an acronym. This organization provides awareness and protection from abusive dance, meaning advocacy against the hypersexualization of girls in dance. Thank you so much for being in the treehouse today with us, Mary.
Well, I'm so happy to be here. I'm always happy to talk about healthy dance and harmful dance.
Yes, that's great. That's awesome. So where did this whole dance organization start? When did you start it and why? What made you decide to go into this and start this kind of organization?
Well, dance has been so formative in my life. I love dance. And I got a BA and an MA in dance and was actually teaching in a church program and choreographing a Christmas musical.
Aww.
And a little girl I had one year, very little, about 5 or 6, she grew up and she came to me and said, "Would you come see my college dance concert?" And so that didn't take very much time for me to say, "Of course I will come see your college dance concert."
Yeah, it sounds fun.
And so I went. Now, this is a student-directed dance concert, but honestly, my husband and I were shocked.
Mm.
Every dance was hypersexualized, mm. and there were catcalls mm. in each dance, during the dance and between the dances. And it went on and on and on mm. that way. Until the end, and I couldn't believe what I saw,
mm.
because dance is an art form, and it communicates through the language of the body, through movement, and I have a background in which we respect the beauty of that at a concert level, and that wasn't happening, and so I really had to process what I saw.
Sure.
And I thought, well, I wouldn't do that because I don't want to objectify women,
mm-hmm.
but these girls are 18, so they're adults, so there's nothing I can do about it. It made me so sad until I began to see that same hypersexualized dance in high school
mm-hmm.
dance recitals, junior high dance recitals, elementary school dance mm-hmm. recitals, and preschool children. And so at that point, because I love dance, I began to think through why this was happening, and I realized there were no organizations really standing up for protecting children, actually.
Mm.
Because if you look into the research, the brain research, the psychological research, you're going to find that this isn't just something that happens to a child and then they go on to the next thing. It really affects their psyche and how they see themselves. They self-sexualize and they think the only way to get approval is external sexiness.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not my idea. That's research-based.
Sure, sure. So what do you think has shifted in our culture to cause this tilt towards the hypersexualization?
Well, I think the internet, media, and porn mm. are the three words that I think of. And I think it's taken all of us by surprise and influenced us in a way that we haven't realized. Mm-hmm. And we're all busy. Parents are fixing chicken for dinner, you know, racing their kids to this activity and that activity. And we haven't been aware of the presence of this overload of hypersexualized media coming in to our kids. And then, of course, all kids have those little cell phones. Mm-hmm. So they're exposed to adult material outside the dance classroom and inside the dance classroom.
Yeah.
So I've been called to just make people aware that you have healthy dance and harmful dance. Of course, healthy dance is educational. Research shows it's the best thing for kids. Boy, it improves academics, it's creative. My goodness, on and on and on are the positives. But in harmful dance, which is hypersexualized dance, it produces trauma.
Yeah. So where do you believe is the line in the sand? Where's the line in the sand for you from the healthy and the harmful?
Well, I have two simplified definitions, but we have a free ebook that goes into further detail on that definition. Whether you have taken dance and you know what a bat-ma-tendu is or a plié is, a lot of people get confused and think, how am I supposed to know what to do? And so I always say that healthy dance, which is educational dance, children look like children in age-appropriate costumes, choreography, and music, usually accompanied by a great sense of joy.
Yeah.
In harmful, hypersexualized dance, children look like adults.
Yeah.
In adult costumes, choreography, and music, usually accompanied by adult makeup and adult hairstyles. So that's a simplified definition.
Okay.
But we have a deeper one on our free ebook. Okay. It's only 14 pages. What's the new trend in children's dance? How to choose a healthy dance studio? How to avoid a harmful dance studio? And then a little section on how to approach a dance studio owner who may be unaware of this with research and using our website, which is free. All our materials are free on the website. Help people make informed choices.
Education is so important, right?
Education and awareness.
Yeah.
And I'm convinced there's a group of people making money off kids, putting them and wanting them in hypersexualized dance, but a lot of people are just uninformed and uneducated. And that's why we don't shame or blame anybody. We just educate. So we always have respectful conversations.
So many of my listeners might not know that I actually teach dance a couple days a week at the studio that my girls go to. And one of the reasons that I started teaching there is because I get to be my daughter's teacher, and that's super fun. They don't always like it.
Well, I can
but
appreciate
that's okay.
I have three grown kids, so I get it.
There you go. So I grew up dancing. I love dancing. I love dancing as a form of worship. I mean, that's a whole nother category. And I love watching my girls express themselves in that way. And at the Gaylord here in Nashville, they've been dancing all over the place, and it's just been, they're actually with me. So that's just been really, really fun for us. But so we're blessed to have, you know, a more protective culture at our studio. And I won't name the studio to protect, one, my girls and two, the studio. But we're in the competition scene. And like we were chatting before we started rolling here, that while I feel like their dances are appropriate, the culture that we're involved in is definitely not. When we go to those conventions and competition scenes, it's kind of an every other dance, whether you're going to get the, you know, very over-sexualized situation on stage happening or the very classical and beautiful and tasteful dance. So it's just, it rotates and it's hard. And even my husband and my son are starting to find, as my son is 13, they're starting to find, we can't sit in here and wait for our, you know, sissy's dance to start. We've got to come in right when I say, hey, okay, they're coming on stage. You watch that and then you leave again, because we don't know what you're going to see before and after they go on stage.
Right.
And I'm also seeing it from, you know, the announcers, the people that run the competitions themselves. And you see it with the judging. And that's what's so frustrating, is the girls are starting to realize, they're already starting to understand this at 11, 12, 10, 11, 12 is the age that her team is. And they're starting to notice, you know, these girls that are trashy and flaunting all of these things on stage, they got platinum. Mm-hmm. We didn't. You know, so they're noticing, like, they're getting the higher achiever award and taking that home with them.
Yeah.
And so that's really sad. So what do you speak to encourage moms like myself to encourage their daughters with that situation?
Well, one thing I'd say is we're normalizing what is not mm-hmm. normal. And I have a couple of suggestions. Number one, I talked to your dance studio owner about really considering the real positive outcomes of putting your child in that kind of environment. I mean, you can perform, and kids love to perform, don't they? Mm-hmm. But I mean, you can go to senior centers, you can go to Kiwanis Club, mm-hmm. you can, you know, be at the PTA talent show. There's lots of ways to let kids express themselves mm-hmm. with the beauty of dance. Another thing you can do is talk critically with your girls, although they will be influenced by what they see. See, that's the challenge.
Yeah.
When we have a culture that saturates itself with hypersexualized material, children are influenced by that. But I think talking with them about why it's not good and giving them critical thinking skills is really important. Hiding in the corner is not going to help a child.
Yeah.
So I think we can do a both and.
Okay.
You know, researcher Gail Dines calls this culture a pornified culture. Mm-hmm. Another researcher, whose name is Philip Adams, calls what is happening with children and our exposure of adult sexual material to kids watching it or doing it corporate pedophilia.
Mm-hmm.
So there's big business mm-hmm. and there's lots of money people are making using kids in this inappropriate way.
Yeah, we spend hundreds, if not thousands, on
on
these competitions.
And and so everybody, you know, is invested. It becomes mm-hmm. an investment in money mm-hmm. rather than an investment in children.
Yeah, in their heart, their spirit. Yeah, that's awesome. So you've mentioned your free resources and talking to the kids. So that's really parents. That is one of the biggest ways you can, you know, drive this train with Mary, is going to those resources, having those conversations. They're not always easy. We've had to have mm-hmm. those in our home, and it can be challenging.
Can I add one thing?
Yeah, of course.
On danceawareness.com, we have a Hollywood filmmaker that we work with that's made some excellent materials. We have three trailers. They're just 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
They're appropriate to play with your kids.
Yeah.
And then talk about it. Because they have experts, they have me on them, some of them not. But they kind of lay out the problem. It's really hard sometimes, I think, for a parent to just always be in charge of the voice that really raises this issue. But these trailers are a good talking point to show to kids. We also, on our website, have educational presentations. I have a 35-minute one that it shares research.
Okay.
From brain research to the psychological research to the APA definition of hypersexualization. All these resources empower parents to realize, you know, this is not a good plan. And I think all of us get something in our stomach going when we see a child mm-hmm. and they're younger and younger mm-hmm. dressed in really inappropriate material.
Yeah.
We know something's wrong, but we don't know how to address it. We don't have the words for mm-hmm. it. But we've blurred the lines between childhood and adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
We've made children into mini adults because it's making money.
Mm. It's always money.
Yeah.
It's always money.
Well, and I think there's evil underneath mm-hmm. that because when you put a child in adult material, when they're not adults, you're stealing their innocence.
Mm-hmm. That's good. All right, so can you tell me about some new things that are happening?
Yeah, we have a lot of excitement in Dance Awareness, No Child Exploited. We are starting something called the Dance Coalition this spring. It'll be up on the website permanently. Actually, it's in a drop down right now on Take Action, where we're asking any adult that wants to protect children in dance, any persuasion, any political persuasion, you know, Republican, Democrat, independent, any religious background. They can be faith-based, they can be an atheist, they can be Jew, they can be Mormon. They can be any adult who wants to protect children in dance can join the Dance Coalition so we can rub shoulders and really make mm-hmm. an impact on the culture. Mm-hmm. And we're also going to be having a state-by-state listing of healthy dance studios.
That's what I was going to ask you about.
Yeah, anybody can nominate a dance studio that they think is okay. healthy. And we'll have a definition up on our website. So parents can come and actually, you know, say in this state or in this state, this mm-hmm. is the list of healthy dance studios, because there is no such list. Mm-hmm. We also have something going on right now called My Dance Why, and anybody can go to that on the drop down on danceawareness.com, and they can record off their own phone 15 to 30 seconds of why they don't agree with hypersexualized dance for children. Okay. And we're actually doing that at NRB now as well.
Okay.
And so we're very excited about those initiatives, and hope all of you will be part of the Dance Coalition, mm-hmm. and we hope all of you will nominate healthy dance studios. And we'd like to invite you, too, to be part of the dance newsletter. It only comes 3 times a year. And we have a range of experts talking about this issue. We have counselors. We have research experts. We have parents. We have dance educators writing articles on the repercussions of hypersexualized dance for children that are too young to really understand it.
Sure, sure. No, that's great. That's awesome. I love that you're inviting people to vote in their local studio that they feel is safe
right.
and appropriate. I think that's great. That builds accountability
yeah.
there. I think that's wonderful anytime we add accountability. And then there was also, I'm wondering if there's a way to add lists, or there has to be healthy competitions somewhere, but I haven't seen them. I haven't
yeah.
necessarily seen them. I think some of them definitely are more family friendly, and they do have rules on the music. The music has to be family friendly, and but people do push that line as far as they can, and so that gets tricky. But there has to be more wholesome competitions out there. Do you know of any?
I know one called Confidance, but I don't know anything personally about the follow-through on that.
Okay.
But I've heard good things
okay.
about that particular competition. The thing is, we really have to ask the question, what is in the best interests of children?
Mm-hmm.
What is the big picture here? And there are all kinds of ways to let children enjoy movement, enjoy dance, and not compromise their innocence and their exposure to inappropriate sexual material.
Mm-hmm.
If I could, I'd like to share the APA definition of
sure.
what hypersexualizes
sure.
a child. This is a research-based organization, certainly not my idea, but they say that a child is hypersexualized if they're valued only for their sexual appeal or behavior,
mm.
where their sexual attractiveness is equated with being sexy, when sexuality is inappropriately imposed on them,
mm-hmm.
or they're made into an object. And hypersexualized dance fulfills all of those.
Yeah.
You only have to have one
mm-hmm.
to fulfill their definition of
sure.
hypersexualization. So I think we have to think deeply about what is best for our kids, and why are we doing this to children when they're children?
Mm-hmm.
When you're an adult, you do adult things.
Mm-hmm.
When you're a child, let's let children be children.
Yeah, that's good. Well, thank you, Mary. Thank you so much for being in the Treehouse with us today. I'm so glad we got to meet at NRB, and this has been awesome and very educational, and I think my listeners can really take and apply this to other areas that their kids might be doing too. I think it applies to things outside of dance.
Oh, definitely.
You know, so
there's a trail
awesome.
Of hypersexualization
yeah.
all through our culture.
Yeah.
And I think until adults step up to the plate and respectfully join shoulders and say, this is not what we want for our kids.
Yeah.
It'll keep happening.
Yeah. All right, guys, check out the show notes. Go take full advantage of all of her free material and free resources. Thanks so much. See you soon.
Wait, before you go, don't forget to hit that subscribe button and follow us on Facebook or Instagram at The Treehouse Storyteller so we can stay connected. Head on over to thetreehousestoryteller.com for more products, artwork, photography, and encouragement. See you next time.